With NFR Extra, we're going to take you behind the scenes in a way you've never heard before. Every 2 weeks, you're going to hear personal conversations with the icons and personalities that make up the world's richest and most prestigious rodeo. NFR Extra. All dirt, all rodeo, all year.
Hello, hello, hello. Here we are.
Episode 11.
That's right. NFR Extra. And of course, I am your host, Nevada Caldwell.
And this is Bo Gardner, your co-host.
You know, this, this episode, I'm not even going to say it's better than the last or it's the best or...
It was a darn good one.
It's by far the most positive episode we've ever had.
Thankful.
Yes. We got a couple world champions that joined us on here. Who was that, Bo? Who did we have with us?
I think her name was Fallon Taylor, the woman that's not afraid to share her sense of style and creativity, and also Mr. Tyson Durfee.
The man in pink.
Yes, for good reason.
We learn a lot on every episode, but learned a lot about the human nature on this one. And when your back's against the wall or those kind of things and how you pick yourself up. I feel pretty good after listening and in the conversation with this episode.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Boyd Paul Hamus, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
This is Bo's Bull, the rodeo news of the week.
PRCA stat of the week. The combined payout of the three pro rodeo tour stops over the weekend was $582,000. This includes Dodge City Kansas Roundup Rodeo, Mountain Valley Stampede Rodeo in Heber City, Utah, and Kansas's biggest rodeo in Phillipsburg. I don't think I've ever been there. Have you ever been there, Bo?
Phillipsburg?
Yeah.
No.
No. Interesting.
Not a destination in...
Yeah, I don't... Yeah. I mean, who knows?
But... I would like to go see the rodeo. The Wright brothers, they keep rewriting it. And Ryder Wright, he set the regular season earning record in saddle bronc riding at a 190,000+.
That family just keeps producing pro rodeo
It's
athletes.
In the genes.
Yeah. No pun, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we talked about Stetson. We had Stetson on. We've had some of the Wrights on. Man, I'm pretty sure we could have a whole year long with the Wright brothers.
Jordan Hansen took home all the money at the Mountain Valley Stampede Rodeo in Heber City, Utah, when he was the only bull rider to stay on.
And that, I mean, that rarely happens. During the NFR, you look at the stats of the night, maybe two, one, stay
Depends on when they have that rank.
Yes.
Yeah, bullpen coming out there, and I think all the rank bulls made it to Heber City, Utah.
What about the Hall of Fame? Would you like to be there? Or maybe you were just there.
I was just there. Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame is celebrating their 40 years of cowboy history. I tell you, there's a lot of tears and there's a lot of laughs at that Hall of Fame induction. And we did all of it. Thoroughly enjoyed it. What a great class. So Jerome Robinson, Larry Peabody, Dean Gorsuch. I mean,
yeah.
Wow. Alan Bach. Just some really great names. Envy. Just an honor to be there. You know, they had a big party for Benny Butler, half the South Point Hotel and Casino. So great party, a lot of good stories told, just a great weekend.
For more information about the world standings and everything else about the NFR, visit NFRExperience.com. And while you're listening, please don't forget to hit that subscribe button on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you listen to the NFR Extra podcast.
Hi, I'm Rusty Wright, and this is NFR Extra.
2014 champion of the world, Fallon Taylor, an athlete, entrepreneur, business owner, coach, public speaker.
Don't run out of breath.
And so much more. Yes. Welcome to the show, Fallon.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
We are on NFR Extra, and Ms. Fallon Taylor is our special guest today. So what have you been up to, Ms. Fallon Taylor? I tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed watching the, it's called Religion of Sports, and I really, truly feel like, it was awesome. I truly feel like at that time, I don't know when it was recorded or filmed, but I feel like at that time is when you were still very heavy into racing barrel racing, but you also were planting the seed for your future. So now's your future. What are you doing? What have you been up to? What keeps you busy now that you're not barrel racing?
Well, you know, that's a funny statement, now that I'm not barrel racing. I actually compete 6 days a week. So it's funny to me when you know, kind of people that consider themselves fans come up and they're like, what are you doing now that you're not barrel racing?
Right.
And I'm like, I'm literally on a horse at a barrel race while you're asking me this question. So I'm always so confused by that. I have seven young
horses. We did that intentionally.
Training.
Don't take it as an insult.
Yes.
We wanted you to be able to say what you're saying right now, because we've heard it many times.
Poke the bear.
Yes.
So it really ruffles my feathers, because I'm probably riding now more than when that documentary aired in 2015. You know, I compete about 90 times a year on the pro rodeo tour in order to make a run at the NFR. When I'm not actively trying to make a run at the NFR, I'm probably competing 200 times. So it's pretty funny that when I go to a pro rodeo, I'm only running one horse, where now I'm getting colts ready. I'm running a minimum of 4 horses to 7 horses in a 1 hour period of time.
Man.
So the amount of barrel racing that I'm doing is quadruple the amount when I'm actively pursuing the road to the NFR. So it's a funny question that I get all of the time, that I'm like, so you call yourself a fan, but you watch this for 10 days in December, you know?
Hey, I live the life. Brylan lives the life. We absolutely know exactly what you're going through
when I watch it.
You guys know. So, and it's pretty funny, because the same people go, I'm your biggest fan, Taylor. And I'm like, my name's Fallon. So,
yeah, thanks for being a great fan.
Good looking out. Why are you retired?
Yes.
Love your work, Taylor. So, you know, actively, to answer your question, I'm training. I've got about 7 young horses that I'm training right now.
Okay, when you say young, do you mean 4, 5-year-olds, fraternity horses?
We're halter breaking 12, 6 weanlings, 6 yearlings, saddling and groundbreaking 5 2-year-olds, running barrels on 2 3-year-olds, 3 4-year-olds, 4 5-year-olds, and then a couple of finished horses. So
you're busy.
I just texted you that list. That's why it's coming through.
Yes, I got it. Now I can ask more questions.
Look how multi-talented she is as well. She's riding a horse, texting,
look at all the
and preparing.
Of her.
Holy
look
crap,
her
look
go.
At those two-year-olds. Wow, would you run to the barn and take those pictures?
Which, you know what? I'm going to kind of segue that into this next question, because, quite honestly, first of all, if you're doing all that, how in the heck do you manage all this business you got going on, as we see that plays out in social media and all the things that you're pitching, selling, branding, promoting, et cetera, et cetera?
I think that it's been, there's no balance. I love when gurus come on and tell you about balancing your life. And I'm like, that's not how any of this works. You have to say no to a lot of really exciting things in order to say yes to some other things. So for me, it's saying no to going 90,000 miles down the road at the NFR, to say yes to some horses that are going to take me to the NFR in the future. People will forget about this gap. They won't even know you're gone. And then they'll just start speculating about what you're going to do at the next rodeo. So I'm more concerned with, you know, what's happening right now, to try to cultivate an environment where I can be free enough to go. And in rodeo, it's more expensive than anybody could ever imagine. So for me, you know, having a lot of branding and working through, I have an amazing staff, by the way, and they are absolutely phenomenal. When I get out of the warehouse, I go through a daily check. We have a little meeting every single morning, and I walk through the warehouse, I walk through the factory, and just talking to everybody and making sure that I'm doing my part. And then it's my job to go to the barn and train. And then after that, it's my job in between all of this to remember that the fans are waiting to hear what's going on and give me a glimpse inside and what's happening today, and understanding how much I crave that from the people that I looked up to, kind of keeps me going with this social media, kind of task list that I have every single day. You know, I go live on my Facebook groups every single morning. I do a small inspirational rant every single morning online. I put out 3 blogs a week. I do a podcast every single week. And I compete 5 to 6 days a week and try to maintain amazing relationships in my business. So that it's not balanced, but it does work right now.
I'm pretty sure people ask you this question, right? When do you sleep?
When do you eat?
So I have all of my meals are prepped, and I pop them in, and I might be on the back of a horse eating my meals, but I've got alarms. You know when you get really busy and you look down, it's 3 o'clock, you haven't eaten yet?
Yes.
I think everybody is kind of that person. So literally have alarms of going, hey, make sure you do this, you know, make sure you do this. But sleep and healing is really important to me. I don't get a lot of sleep, but I am refreshed and I feel rested and I just utilize 3 hours.
Yeah.
I go to the next thing that has to be done. And that's probably been one of the most vital things ever to my schedule. It's hard to rodeo after having such a busy schedule at home because rodeoing is so much hurry up and wait. It's being strapped inside of a car for 12 hours at a time with just your mind working nonstop. So, you know, it's easier to be at home.
Sure. So you have your meals prepped. You get plenty of rest. You get your exercise by working out with all those horses. So I imagine your modeling career is doing very well.
Well, I'm only my brand face or a model for the brands I'm either sponsored by or my own brand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't really like, I jump in front of the camera, but just modeling is not that intriguing to me. Making a difference, adding value to somebody else's life, feeding in to the planet, as cheesy as that may sound, that's kind of what keeps me on this rigorous schedule and waking up in the morning with a lot of passion. So, you know, things that fall into the wayside that I feel like don't lend itself to making the planet better.
Well, let's stay on the modeling topic here real quick. So rewind, we don't want to dive too much in this, but you were at one point modeling and not riding or competing, I guess. Probably, I don't never want to say you're never riding. I know you probably ride all the time, but that modeling, that modeling stint that you did forever, however long it was, did the things that came out of that you learned from there, things that you picked up on that you definitely would not have picked up on just in the rodeo business. Has that, your modeling career, has that helped with what Bo's asking, utilizing all those assets and kind of using that to create the Fallon Taylor brand, basically?
I think that every single layer of what I've tried to dip my toe in has lent itself to helping me on every level. I think everybody kind of goes back over their life and they're like, well, if I hadn't worked that crappy job, I wouldn't have learned this, or I wouldn't have developed this skill. And it's funny because in the beginning of my career, parents would shove their kids in front of me and go, my daughter wants the model, can you help her? And I was just in my head, I would just think, what a terrible idea. Or like, don't do that.
Do it.
That's a horrible, horrible idea. Because you know, the modeling I did was runway and editorial in New York, and I lived in Manhattan. And, you know, I moved in August of 2011, which obviously was 30 days early enough to miss one of the most tragic things that happened to this country. So a lot of things came out of that, one of which was when people really dislike you, but you show up on time and you stay consistent and you do a great job, they can't help but not ignore you anymore. And so modeling was that for me, where you'd show up and they'd go, we hate this curvy look that looks, multi-ethnic. We hate it. Boom, then the Kardashians hit and everything's fine and I get my bills paid. So it was like, you know, okay, it was fun to not fit in, which has been really consistent throughout my journey of, you know, I don't fit in here, but I think I can make a difference and be compelling and do something really cool. So modeling for sure taught me that. And then, you know, I went into TV stuff, but modeling was one of those things of like, if you thought you had confidence, you were beat down, I mean, to the level of gum on someone's shoe and then told to, okay, now do the thing where you look pretty. Yeah. And you're like, I feel terrible.
I don't want to look pretty right now.
I don't feel pretty anymore. Yeah,
right.
So
it hurts to smile, right?
Every inch of my body. So to all the parents, don't do that.
Yes. All right. So that makes complete sense. And you know what? And kind of seeing, I caught one of you in 14 when you went on your run. I just joined the team here at LVE and kind of just this Fallon Taylor experience, which was phenomenal on social media to play out with the helmets, you know, the colors, everything you were doing. But it makes sense what you're talking about coming from New York.
She was marketing then.
Absolutely. You know exactly what you're doing. Yeah. What I liked is that you really handled the exposure. So when like the cameras are on spotlight, to your point, you know, you got to smile sometimes even when you don't want to. You did a really good job of that. Obviously, that's carried to this point and this conversation. So I go ahead.
I appreciate that so much. I would never want the fan experience of me when the cameras aren't there, when I hit all three barrels and I run out of the arena. I think I have a competitive advantage because of this responsibility where if I hit all three barrels and I just lost $100,000, there's still a small girl at the end of the alleyway that wants a hug and a picture, and she has no idea what that run meant to me, but she knows what this moment means to her. So my resilience factor has had to go up through the roof of be like, get it together, because you could ruin that person's experience of what they think of their heroes in the arena. You could ruin it so quickly. Mm-hmm. And so it's an immense responsibility, but I embrace it as best as I possibly can.
Oh, you just set up another question we have for you.
Boom, here we go.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously you're active on YouTube and very open, extremely open. Tell us about your
1%
rule.
So my 1% rule stemmed from when I broke my neck in 2009, mm-hmm. which was 10 years ago yesterday. And I learned very quickly that, you know, just literally one foot in front of the other, any kind of action, as long as you don't quit, gets you somewhere. So I don't think it's anything that I thought up. It's simple math. If I do 1% every single day for 100 days, I can look back and have 100% improvement from the person that I was on the first day that I decided to take action. And 1% is not that much. You know, I've done a lot of fitness things in my life, and 1% a lot of times is just showing up. You know, it's really nothing more than that. And doing a check-in with yourself every time of just going, well, did I do the 1% even though I failed? Yeah. Okay. Well, then repeat that again. Do that again tomorrow. You know, so it's just a really simple way to stay on track.
The 1% rule presented by Miss Fallon Taylor. So, all right. Miss Brylin Bentley is our third co-host today. We won't go into detail exactly how or why she's sitting there, but she was on the UNLV rodeo team. She's now working with us here at Las Vegas events. She has been assisting with some of our ventures at Cowboy Christmas with the Junior World Finals, because she knows how to work her way around the arena, right? But she created this script for us, right? And on this script, my next question to you is supposed to be, do you got any deep thoughts? So I have no idea where she was coming from when she wrote that. But I'm going to ask her to now jump in and maybe explain or elaborate on that to help you out a little bit, Fallon, just so we're not putting you in a position where, oh my goodness, what are they digging for right now? Brylin, yours. Brylin, go ahead.
Go ahead, Double B.
Oh, man, guys. And Brylin,
I didn't really hear the question, so I'm ready to hear it.
So it's, do you got any deep thoughts, Fallon? I mean, you had a book come out recently, and there's a few segments on YouTube where you talk about deep thoughts. Got any today?
So I always have deep thoughts every single day, and a cheap plug for myself is on, if you follow me, at FallonTaylor2 on Instagram, every single morning on my Insta stories, I have a deep thought, or just basically a small little insight as to something that you can build on for today. And I get DM'd a lot from people that have anxiety or been diagnosed with depression or PTSD. And today's deep thought on my Insta story was, we always say, I have this disease, or I have anxiety, I have depression, I have PTSD. But we rarely say, I have a resilient heart, or I have gratitude, or I have strength. And I think that we need to repeat those things more than we repeat what we've been diagnosed with in order to climb the mountain of the next thing that we want to conquer. So that was my deep thought for today, Brylan.
Yay!
Oh, that was awesome.
Nothing like being put on the spot and coming out a shining star, right?
You're not going to trick me.
No, no, not at all. I'm realizing
hey,
that.
Hey, Brylan threw it out there, right? So I knew that she had done her research, and I knew that she was doing this for a reason, and boom, there it was.
Yes, and that was fantastic.
I appreciate it.
So, all right, how do you and correct me if I'm wrong how I say this. How do you stay connected with your Flow-mies?
With Flow-mies?
Yes.
Yes.
It sounds like it's a little network that is growing and getting powerful by the day.
The Flow-mies go so hard in the paint, you guys. The Flow-mies go so hard. Don't mess with the Flow-mies. So Flow-mies, my horse's name is Baby Flow. And I want to be homies with all the people that love me and Baby Flow. So we are referred to as Flow-mies. And, you know, the Flow-mies, staying connected to them means a rigorous social media schedule. It means that my DMs are open. It means that I actually answer them. It means that I actually am vulnerable and let them see my failures and my successes. So that's how I stay connected. If you see me somewhere, stop me, say hi, you're going to get the same conversation. It doesn't matter. If you've been supporting me and this journey, and I've been trying to support your journey back by pouring in just some wisdom and some inspiration, if you see me somewhere, by gosh, say hi. And if you hit me up in the DMs on any social media platform, I do my very best to answer every single day.
Yes, you do. Well, that's how we connected to you. So you are 100% right on that.
I sent her a message Absolutely. 2 weeks ago. I must have. My name's not Nevada, so I don't pop out.
You're not a Flow-mie. No. I am. Well, I tell you, we've ran out of questions to ask you. But however, you obviously said you ride, you still compete. Is the NFR something that is still a goal of yours, or if it happens, or? Where is that on your kind of your radar?
The NFR is a fun thing, and I would love to. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you already know the way that it works. But see, the way that the rest of the world views the NFR is they think that if you're a big deal, quote unquote, that you get this Willy Wonka golden ticket and you get invited to the NFR.
Yeah.
So like going to the NFR this year, I'm like, I am going because I have a boost. There and ranch dressing goes every single
Where's
year,
your booth? Where is your booth?
My booth is at the convention center.
Yay!
It's at the Big Daddy. We're there creating fire hazards and kicking people off with lines. 10 days in December.
Yep. Cowboy Christmas.
That's there where you'll go. Find me.
That's right. That's where you'll find all of us from 7 a.m. till 4 or 5 p.m. every day.
Yep.
It's a lot. It's hardcore. So that's where I am. But I think a lot of people's perception is they walk up and they go, you know, up, are you rodeoing? And then they go, well, are you going to the NFR? And I'm like, that's not how any of this works.
Yeah.
So the way that it works, you know, you've got to plan out that you're going to be in a vehicle for about 9 months a year, driving about 90,000 miles a year, trains, planes, and automobiles. So it's not something that you're just going, that's just going to happen if it happens. That's never, ever going to work out. So
we like poking that pig. You know that, right? We just continue to do that. All right.
Yes.
I love it. But, you know, October is close and I plan on October 1st rodeoing really hard in October. And I like to just kind of gauge where I stand after that. You know, after I kind of give myself a little bit of a run in October, because that's the start of the brand new season. I like to just kind of feel it out from there. I write my goals down a year in advance. NFR 2020 is not on the goal sheet yet, but I haven't completed my goal sheet for next year. So we shall see is the answer.
So if you do rodeo in October, where? What circuit?
So October is wild. Yep. October is one rodeo in Brawley, California, that's forever away on the end of the planet. Then the other side of the planet, in Florida, there's a few rodeos, Louisiana and Montana. So it's really like a good little mini test of hey, Fallon, remember what this is like? Do we really love this? Or would you rather be working? How much do you love this? So that's what October is for me. It's a barometer check.
Because we've interviewed quite a few contestants on here and talk about the road, and actually some, like Tallman and those guys, break down your all's journey. And what it takes, and you know, you'd love to have a personal assistant, you know, planning for you everything that you do, and you know, making sure that the tires on the truck work and the horse is ready and you're healthy. And yeah, I could see how that goes down, and definitely, you know, what a tough decision that's got to make, as far as, you know, are you willing to buckle up and let's do this?
That's why that decision to be on the road to the NFR is made.
Yeah,
you know,
early.
Like she said, early, because you just got to put the gauge out there and see what happens.
And you know that.
Yeah, you have to be prepared. A lot of people just say, you know, I'm just going to jump out there and give it a shot. And I'm like, give it a shot, but you need to give it a good old solid try, because you can go to those 90,000 miles, you can go to those 90 rodeos, and still not punch your ticket to Vegas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, even to that, you know, when I see people announce, and I see this quite a bit, always around January, right after the NFR, you know, maybe there's a super rodeo high at that point, and it's like, all right, I'm making the NFR this year, and they make those announcements, or they're going to do all around, or whatever it is, and then they disappear.
My catchphrase is hashtag see me in August. See me in August.
Yeah, seriously.
Tell me how dedicated you are in August.
Yep.
Because the gyms are full, too, of New Year's resolutions. I go to a crowded gym and crowded rodeos in January. But August, it looks like a ghost town.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about your horses right now. I know you define them age-wise, but if you go out and rodeo in October, who are you on?
Well, it all depends right now. I'm just trying to get these colts really finished up where they feel great. They're clocking with baby flow right now, but they're not clocking with baby flow under pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not at Reliant. We're not in San Antonio. We're not at Thomas and Mack. So, you know, that's obviously very different. So my horses are all related in some way, shape or form. These all stem from the horses that I made it to. I texted you a picture just now of a few of them.
I got it.
But all of them.
Nice butt on that horse. Wow.
Yeah, thanks. So he works out. My horses that I went to the NFR on in the 90s are the sire and dam of the lineage throughout my entire barn, which is just really cool and what keeps me connected. I don't buy anything. We raise everything. You know, it's not a feather in my hat to say that we raised everything. It's very, very hard to do this. But it's what keeps me personally connected to the journey, is like seeing myself go back to the NFR doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't fuel me with passion or get me excited at all. But seeing my 4-year-old colt Flobot that almost died and had a virus as a yearling that shouldn't make it, seeing him go to the NFR and telling his story to the Flomies and allowing them to understand that the underdog can go back and prevail, that's a cool story that I could maybe run with.
You sound like my fiance.
Yeah, that's,
that is exactly something that would come out of her mouth.
But it's to the point.
Absolutely. We all want to know that the horses that we invest so much in, we are not investing in the best horse on the planet.
Right.
We're investing in the ones that we're connected to.
Yep. Yeah. She has three babies out in the field, same as you. You know, just you buy breed, right? That's what you got to go by, and you just see what you get out of them.
But you know what, to your point, Fallon, too, though, is that the NFR is all about showcasing the horse and horsemanship and everything about it. And, I could see that feeling where take the human element out of it, and the excitement of watching a horse go from A to Z has got to be, just like watching my kids, do well and kind of excel what they need to do.
Right, absolutely.
We had a similar conversation with Kirsten, remember?
Yes, we did.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about lineage and kind of how that all boils down and Happy Valley.
Yeah.
Pennies from heaven. But, you know, hey, Fallon, we know you're busy. We really know you're busy.
We really do. We don't want to take away your breakfast, lunch, or...
Oh, I'm sure you made a business deal.
Watching a video.
And the pause that we did here.
I've got it all blocked off. Today, this is my job. So I appreciate you guys so much for having me. Thank you for letting me be a part of it.
Thank you.
Hey, one real quick thing. Add on your goals for 2020 to come back on the NFR Extra podcast.
Yes.
I would love to.
We may even drag you into our podcast trailer at Cowboy Christmas. We're going to run down there. We'll send Brylan down there to drag you out of your your exhibit space and say, "Hey, we got a place for you to sit down here in a little peace and quiet and
talk some more."
Sounds good. Well, thank you guys so much. Have an amazing rest of your day.
Thanks.
You too. Fallon. All right.
Tom. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
For more information about NFR and Cowboy Christmas, please visit NFRExperience.com. And while you're listening, don't forget to hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play for the NFR podcast.
Hi, I'm world champion bull rider Sage Kimsey, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Welcome Tyson Durfee, the man of faith and a world champion in and out of the arena. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, sir. Awesome, guys. Thanks for having me. Super excited to be on today.
Dude, we're super, super excited to have you because we had another conversation this morning with Fallon Taylor.
Yep.
And wow, dude, you got some big shoes to fill, you know, following her, but we know you can do it.
Well, I'm excited to try. We'll see what happens. She's definitely prettier than I am, so we'll have to go.
Thank God we don't have to look at each other on this one.
Yeah, good thing this is audio, not video,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, let's get right into it.
So, this is kind of obvious, but we're going to throw it out there. You always wear a pink shirt when competing. Could you share with us the reasoning behind that and why it is so important, sir?
Yeah, it's hard to believe. You know, it's hard to think that nobody would know why I do it at this point. I've been doing it
right?
for a dozen years
I
now.
Know.
But,
I know.
You know, it's one of those things. I had a cancer scare in my family, super close, my stepmother, way back in the day, like 2007-ish. And it was just a thing I did. I said, hey, you know, how would you like it if I wore a pink shirt and I did it in dedication of you every single night I competed at the Canadian Finals and at the NFR? And she was like, wow, you would do that for me? That would be so amazing. And so I did it. And she was going through all kinds of treatments and certain things, you know, during that time frame. And they found out it technically wasn't breast cancer. What they found out was she had two grapefruit-sized tumors on her ovaries. And when I decided to do this, there was a strong possibility that they were going to be cancerous. Long story short, they did a hysterectomy after the Canadian Finals, after the NFR that year, and they found out that they were benign, which meant there was no cancer in them, thank God. And, you know, it was going to be a one-time thing. I was going to do it for her and donate some money, you know, 10% of my earnings, and that was really going to be it. And, you know, the next season, I, like the first couple of rodeos, had so many people come up to me and say, where's the pink shirt? You know, and they would tell me their story about how a mother, you know, or a sister went through breast cancer, and it just was a source of inspiration for them. And, you know, I just had, like, literally the first two rodeos, probably six people come up to me and say that. And I thought, you know what, maybe this is something I just need to continue to do. And I did it and have been doing it for, gosh, going 12 years now. And visited numerous hospitals and visited patients and donated thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to not only breast cancer awareness, but different forms of cancer. And it's just been something I've done, you know, for a lot of years now.
So it's safe to say, Tyson, that created like a human connection for you, you know, like somewhere, not going to get all kind of too mystical on this, but like something had a hand in that kind of just, hey, stay with this. This is, look what it's bringing you, right? I mean,
Yeah. And I just always feel like as people, we can always do more. You know, I feel like as people, we get caught up in, oh, what's happening to me? What can I get? What do I need today? That we forget that, you know, I believe we're put on this earth to build other people up and to help other people and help the community around you. And it was just one of those things where I thought to myself, what can I do? What can I do to help? What can I do? And that was the first thing that popped in my mind, and I just ran with it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that we're saying that because that actually kind of flows right into what kind of this question we have for you.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we follow you. We're heavily active in social media for NFR. We're promoting all year long and we're following everybody. And you're one of them. And man, I got to tell you, your messaging, everything that you're putting out there, the positive side of that is so huge, just in general as you as a human being. On top of that, you being a world champion and the influence you have. What are your responses like? And the reason why we're bringing this up is because we talked to Dale Brisby about things, and he talked about rodeo, et cetera, et cetera. But he said, my DMs, he goes, there's people asking me so many things about rodeo, and some people are dissing on him. But then a lot of the people are actually very interested in rodeo because he brought it to their attention. What is your DMs? What does your response look like from the people that you're touching via your positive message and everything you're doing on social?
You know, the first few messages that I put out there years ago were dealing with suicide. And it was something very deep to me because I've had the gun in my mouth. And it's not something I really even like to talk about. And I hate to bring it up because I know it hurts a lot of people. But it also helps a lot of people. And I did that message, and I was almost in tears when I did it. And it came from a real place of rawness and insecurity and just being open and honest. And I realized that through that message, you know, that I put out there, that I helped a lot of people. Now, I had my critics. I had my people that didn't like it. I had my people that I hurt because I brought up negative memories. And I feel bad about that, but literally helped, you know, 20, 30 people reach out to me off that one video. And said that, you know, they've been struggling and they were contemplating that. And then hearing my, you know, story, it just changed their mind. And I thought, man, what else can I do? You know, what else can I do to motivate, help, and inspire people? Not only on that side of it, but just across the sports psychology side. It's personal, you know, maximizing my mind was something I've always wanted to do, something I always wanted. I mean, I grew up in, like, every single learning disability class there was. I mean, I couldn't read. Things were backwards. I spent half a day in learning disability classes, and I always felt so ashamed and so, you know, sick and tired of it that I didn't really love school, but I loved learning. And when I graduated school, I was like, I'm just going to push my mind to the limit. Whatever I need to work on, I'm just going to work on. And it just blows my mind that more people won't do that. You know, they'll spend their whole life struggling on a topic, or a whole life wondering why they just can't get rid of the negative thoughts that they have in their head, or, you know, that they go over to alcohol, or they go over to drugs, or they do all this stuff. And I just really have a personal war against, you know, negative mindset, negative thinking, you know, negativity, addiction, all that stuff. And I just realized that, you know, through my platform of being a rodeo athlete, I can help so many more people and do it the right way and not just be a guy that competes in the arena, but a guy that really tries to help people.
So Tyson, I read a lot about you this past weekend. We've done some things on you, some one-on-ones, things like that. The thing that I find fascinating is kind of talk about your childhood, where you were, kind of talking about literally where you were. And I know you've shared all this, but, you know, your family leaving rodeos and where you were at, you know, money-wise, right, with the family and everything, and grabbing cans and taking those and turning that into dollars for the family. Like, and now looking where you're at today, you know, what I see when I see you and when you share all this is that just the appreciation that you have that you get to walk on this earth and how far you've come with that. I mean, I would imagine your childhood is definitely something that helps you kind of look back and go, you know what this is and where you can take it from where you've come from.
Yeah, the immediate way to get over negative mindset is to act in thankfulness. And you know, I look back at my childhood, you know, and my dad is a great man, and he's a hardworking sucker. You know, he's a horse trainer. Yeah. We've had our differences over the years, but at the end of the day, we love each other, and he taught me how to work hard. Nice. And to look at, you know, from where I came from to where I am now and where I want to go is just, it just really puts me in an eternal state of gratitude. Like, you don't have any idea the amount of times I should have been dead already. Mm. Like, the amount of times I've fallen asleep driving all night and, you know, woke up in the ditch where, you know, 8 months later I hear of a buddy who died from falling asleep driving. Like, yeah. You guys just have no idea the amount of miles that we put behind a wheel and the things that we have to do to get somewhere. So anytime I think, man, I broke the barrier, or man, I, you know, my horse is sore, what am I going to do? I'm like, I immediately go back to gratitude, because that will save you from every circumstance life can throw at you.
So you recently started a No Limit mentorship program where you're sharing all the raw and real methods for becoming a world champion. So how did this all come about, and how's it going?
Well, you know, I've always loved, I guess you could say, information products. Like, I'm the guy that is like, okay, I want to learn about marketing. Well, how do I do that? I'm not a traditional, like, college guy. I dropped out of college very quick. I think college is great for a lot of kids, but for a guy like me who just wants to take action and don't learn anything that's not necessary, college just did not fit me. So I'm the guy that would buy like 27 books on marketing and learn everything. I would take a course online about marketing and advertising, digital media or public speaking or all these things. And so I'm like, you know what? This is crazy. I watch these athletes, even athletes on the same level as me, like they get done with their careers and they're flat broke, mm-hmm. you know, in the NFR 10 times and wind up flat broke or, you know, still struggling with the negative thought patterns that they haven't taken control of. And so I really started it to try to educate other athletes and other younger individuals about the tips and tricks and the things that guys like me know that other people don't. And I'm a firm believer that if some of these younger people, or not even younger people, I mean, maybe you're an amateur rodeo person, you want to get better and get to the pros and make the NFR. Like, it fits anybody. And right now, it's specifically geared towards calf ropers and tie down ropers and breakaway ropers because those are my people that I know the most about. But then the next evolution transition is to any athlete, you know, not just tie down ropers. I dig a lot into the mental side and how, you know, to get rid of the negative thoughts, to how to battle out insecurities and to how to do it as quick as possible. Like, I don't want to wait 5 years trying to figure out how to get over this. I want to get into it as quick as possible and get it learned and get it on and then get done with it and then move on to the next thing. And that's really what it's about. It's really, you know, for me, it's not really a huge financial thing. More so it's just really trying to build up the community because I think as rodeo athletes, you know, we're kind of Neanderthalic in the way that we learn and perceive and go forward. You know, I've studied from, you know, three-time Super Bowl champion Jay Novacek for years was my personal coach and trainer.
Wait,
and
did he play for the Chiefs?
Whoa, you're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. We're all good there. Thank you,
wait,
Tyson.
Tyson is a Chiefs fan.
I am a Chiefs fan. I just so happened to meet Jay. And he's a Cowboy, and he's like, yeah, dude, I'm down to help. So I'm like, I can learn from this guy. But at the end of the day, it's all time collapse. Like, yep. I believe in time collapsing. If I can utilize his knowledge to better my career,
oh, yeah.
Then why can't I do that for somebody else, right?
Yep.
Within working with this guy for a year and a half, I was a world champion, and I've been trying for 32 years prior.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So when you can time collapse off other people's intelligent knowledge, just save yourself so many mistakes. And that's really what it's about. It's really trying to help and save other people's mistakes. And it's you know, ideally, I wanted to do it, and I thought, man, I can handle this deal in like 2 hours a week. It's going to be super simple. Now I'm in, like, yeah. I literally spend like 2 hours a day on this program for very little financial reward. But it is super fun, and I love doing it. I love hearing the success stories, and that's really, you know, really what it's all about for me at this point.
You, man, I got to tell you, so, Tyson, this episode, after talking to Fallon with you, I don't think we crafted it this way, but this is the positive message that comes out of these, you know, these, or maybe we crafted it a little bit like that. Just
we're going to give a little credit to Double B sitting over there. So
one of our assistants helps produce this with us and behind the scenes writing and kind of crafting the stories. She's young, but man, she's got knowledge for days when it comes to rodeo. This is her touch.
And how much credit can you give a UNLV rodeo scholarship award winner, barrel racing,
et cetera.
Just, you know, we can stop, right? And she still doesn't say anything. Say at least hi to Tyson.
Hi, Tyson.
Hello, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well.
You know, so
you guys are bragging you up. That's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. She's a hard worker. You know, and it kind of rolls into this next piece, is which how Brynlyn came up. She came up in the rodeo business with her dad, you know, protecting people, taking care of people, and now she's doing the same, right? Not necessarily what he was doing, but in the same context.
Oh, he did little britches.
Yeah. Yes, sorry. But so one of the things that I think extraordinary about your family dynamics is your wife and how cool it's got to be that both of you are in this business together, and to actually a couple times, if you could culminate at the NFR, every family would want to do that.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you could do that, but you two have done that. How special is that to have your wife, like I can't even fathom it, but out there performing, you're in there waiting, you know, you got a ways to go before tie down comes up, but how cool is that during the NFR to watch your wife perform, do what she loves, and then you get to do what you love.
Yes. And your two daughters, right? You got your two daughters there, praise and risen. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a memory that will never leave me. You know, my wife has performed twice out there, and you know, and the last, I believe it was the last time, when she performed, I roped and I won the go round the same night.
Nice.
So it was like, man, I was, I wish she would perform every night because it had all positive vibes, you know. But it really is amazing, you know. That's why I stay in thankfulness. Like I really, really stay in thankfulness. I stay in optimism. Like the stuff I put out on social media is not just me trying to get followers. It's me being me. And to be able to be in a sport where it's so family oriented, you know, it's not like I have to leave and go play, you know, 50 road games a year like a baseball player or a basketball player and leave my family home. Like I have a bus and they go with me almost everywhere that I go. And for me, my family is the most important thing in the world, above and beyond rodeo, because I know the seeds that I plant in my daughters are going to go on and culminate into positive family in the future. Now, if I neglect them now, then it would go the opposite. So being in a sport that allows me to work with my family, to have them with me, it means so much more. And probably the most amazing thing about it is no matter what I do in the arena, when I get back to the bus, my little girl smiles at me. She runs to me and says, "Good job, Daddy. I love you." And she jumps at me. And even when I don't win, which is 50% of the time, the best in the world plays 50% of the time, it leaves me, the negative energy leaves me immediately. Immediately.
Yeah.
So I just love my sport, love my family. So, so thankful for, you know, just what I get to do for a living.
Yeah,
We're thankful, too.
Yeah, you're blessed, brother. No doubt about it, man.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, he joined the PRCA in, 2003, and it's treated you very well, and you're an 11-time qualifier for the NFR. So I can totally see where you're coming from, and then being able to share that with your wife and your two daughters, that's an incredible career. And then you just make more of it by doing the programs that you're doing with the raw and real methods and being thankful and the whole stories behind the wearing tough enough to wear pink. And wow, who wouldn't want to be Tyson Durfee?
Seriously.
Yeah. Well, it's not all golden rainbows all the time.
We're going to leave it there.
Let's stop the story now. Yeah. No, it's awesome. I'm so thankful, but you know, it's also come through a lot of hard work, man. Mm-hmm. It's hard work.
It doesn't come
easy. You
got
to grind. Mm-hmm. Not only hard work, but hard, smart work.
Yep.
You know, you want to work hard, but you want to work as smart as possible.
Yeah. Don't work harder, work smarter.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, both is good. You know, if you do both, then you get to, you know, the elite level.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to just be good. You want to be the best.
That's right.
At least that's the way I look at things.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Man. Well, this was great.
Awesome.
This is a great day to be talking to people. Mm-hmm. Nice Wednesday, seriously. You know, Tyson, thank you for coming on the show. We know you got plenty more road to ride. Looking good in the standings. Hope all works out well.
Let all your friends and family and everybody know that, you know, about the NFR Extra podcast. We hope you share it. We'll share it with you. You share it with your huge database. So that your story and Fallon's story, so like Envy said, they're great conversations, and we'd love to be able to share them to everybody. Yeah. So
outstanding. You guys have a great day.
I appreciate
your time. God bless y'all, and keep doing great work.
Thank you. Man. We'll talk to you soon, Tyson.
Bye.
Hi, I'm world champion Jacob Scrawley, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
I know we say this every time, but this is that's it for episode 11. Man, whew. This was
very heartwarming.
It was emotional. It took an emotional toll.
Makes you feel good inside to be part of this Western lifestyle, the rodeo industry. Just some really great, classy people.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of good help out there.
Yes,
and everyone looks at someone like a Fallon Taylor. She's always smiling. Tyson, he's always smiling. But there's a reason behind those smiles, and we
big thank you to those guys, yeah. Tyson Durfee. And Miss Fallon Taylor. Wow.
Yeah.
Made it a great episode. Thank you.
Yeah, they did. And come back in 2 weeks because we just keep this train rolling. You know, we still got to get to December.
Who's going to be here in 2 weeks?
We've had him on before, and he's like an entrepreneur, marketing guru. And, oh, by the way, he happens to be he pulls down stairs for a living as well. Casey Jones.
I think they're pulling him down now.
Yeah, I still wouldn't say that because it put me on my butt pretty quick. And then Tucker Allen. Do we know where Tucker Allen is from? Double B. Where is Tucker Allen from?
California.
What?
But what does he do? What does Tucker do?
Oh, he's a steer wrestler, up and coming, lives down by Luke, according to Dakota Eldridge.
Oh.
Yeah, and he's a young guy that we've seen him at where?
He was a past competitor at the Junior NFR and now known as the Junior World Finals.
So can't wait to talk to that young guy. You know, just we'll learn a lot there. It's obviously a steer wrestling episode, but there's going to be a lot of business we talk. And Casey's got some cool things to share that I think that are going to be a lot of fun for the fans come NFR. And, yeah, good luck on the road, everyone out there. And remember, don't forget, hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to the NFR Extra podcast.
Gotta make it out to Vegas, where the big boys roam, with the rovers and the racers and the bulls and the browns, and the ladies in the skin-tight wranglers and the cowboy hats.